Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
Every convention has an arc, and that arc is how all of the pieces of it come together. So you shouldn't really look for a particular speech or a particular event, but rather the overall feel of it, because that's what Americans really do. They're not thinking about it. They're not fretting, you know, oh, what will I think of this convention? But what they do at home is they take the bits and pieces that come in, a soundbite, an image, maybe a speech they actually did tune into. And then they walk away from that with, do I like this? Do I feel better about it? And I think that we've begun to see in this Republican National Convention what the arc is. And it's a pretty darn interesting one. The convention actually started with a great advantage, and that was Hurricane Isaac. Now, I think some people, you know, maybe from afar, you say, wow, Hurricane Isaac, that must have been a big problem. They had to cancel their first day. No, that was a dream come true. In fact, I was with Reince Priebus, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, his big smile. Why the big smile? Because the first day was going to be the day where they had all their problems. The platform, which is packed with militantly anti-choice, socially right-wing, you know, wild, over-the-top policies that frankly, they didn't want to have discussed too much. And so that gets lost when you cancel the first day. It gets kind of buried in a quick event on Tuesday. So too did the rules fights. That was a place where the Ron Paul folks and the Tea Party folks were kind of openly at war with the Romney folks. And the roll call itself, the roll call for president, they didn't want that scene because most states had at least a few votes. Some states had a lot for Ron Paul. And they tried very, very hard not to count them. But having had a whole day of that would have been problematic for them. So they get Monday canceled. That's great. So the arc begins really on Tuesday, what Americans are taking in. And what they got on Tuesday was a disaster in one sense, which is Chris Christie's speech. I mean, even Republicans are saying, what was the point of that? You know, it was a half hour of Chris Christie talking about being on the beach, listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town. And, you know, that was a weird, ineffective speech. It could have been a really bad night, except for Ann Romney. Ann Romney came up that same night and gave what was... it's really not an epic speech, not a transformational speech, but a solid speech that presented a relatively warm, quite positive image of her husband and delivered some core one-liners, you know, he will not fail. Kind of, this is very good stuff. A little weird on the I love women thing, you know, but it's sort of their way of countering all the negatives. But she got a lot of stuff across in a relatively quick and effective speech. So there begins your arc. Then you go to Wednesday night. That's Paul Ryan night. Nothing else mattered. And how would Ryan do? It's a lot of pressure on the guy. But by most accounts, he pulled it off. Now, that does not mean he pulled it off in content. I mean, the speech was riddled with inaccuracy. It was riddled with flat-out lies. I mean, there's just no way to say it otherwise. And things that he'd been caught in already, and then he repeated. And so the very problematic on the fact-checker side. But on the gut-checker side, the pieces that you take away in the quick hits in mainstream media, the one-liners about, you know, college graduates laying on their bed in their parents' basement looking at their fading Obama posters, he had points he wanted to get across, and I think he basically got them across. And then it closed off with, you know, Ryan on stage with his beautiful family and his mom. And I think something they really wanted to communicate, it was only in watching that I figured out why they really put him on the ticket. It was, I think on theory, that if they could muddy the debate about Medicare enough, then Americans would kind of like default back into their sense of, wow, these are kind of unpleasant times. The economy's not doing that well. We face the real risk that the next few years aren't going to be very good. I really want that to change. I want something new that I don't know. And here's suddenly this young, new player. And it looks pretty good, communicates pretty well. So I think they got a lot out of Paul Ryan. And then that then brings us to today, where Mitt Romney must give his speech. By and large, the expectations on Mitt Romney are low. People know he's not a great orator. People don't expect a lot from him, which for him is great, because all he's got to go in and do is a good, solid speech. No embarrassments, no, you know, silliness, and maybe a few good lines. And that completes the arc of the convention. You know, a likable wife, interesting vice presidential candidate, and a good solid guy running for president. That's, if Americans take that away, then the Republicans have done what they wanted to do. That will benefit them a good deal. They'll probably get a couple of polling points. And in a very, very close presidential election, a couple of polling points count for a lot. And that will then affect the Democrats, because the Democrats are watching this. Politics is no longer a, you know, sort of slow process or a big plan that you write out a year in advance. Politics is a reactive sport now. It is the one side does something, you react instantaneously. So much so that in the convention hall, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee is walking around doing interviews, you know, kind of constantly present. Democratic operatives are all over this convention, filming things and taking notes. They take that all to Charlotte and they have a response. And this becomes the calculus of modern politics. The Republicans, if they have a good convention, put a greater pressure on the Democrats. The Democrats must respond to this convention, to this new moment created by the convention at the start of what many people think of as the traditional campaign cycle. I think that this convention, it appears at least, is going to create a greater challenge for the Democrats. They must counter Ryan, and particularly his inaccuracies, and they were multiple. But they must also present themselves as a party that is at once very competent, ready to govern, and has a freshness to it. That's very hard for an incumbent party. I think the bar has been raised a little bit, but that's what makes it interesting. And when we cover politics, we come to conventions not to see what's happening on the floor here or to even to fact check the bits and pieces of it, but rather to get a sense of what is this convention going to do to the broader fight. My gut at this point is that this convention has done a few good things for the Republicans. Not a game changer per se, but move them in the right direction. That's going to create a pressure when we go to Charlotte next week for the Democrats to counter it. And how they counter it will in many ways define the rest of the 2012 campaign.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.